I'm going to ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18, I should have included a prayer request for Brother Tim Martin. As you probably know, he was scheduled to speak tonight. I spoke with him yesterday evening. He did not sound good, but he was going to try to speak anyway. But he called today and has been vomiting and just not able to do it. So we were able to switch. And in the will of the Lord, if he gets better, he can. He'll be able to speak next Wednesday night when I was scheduled. So do pray for our brother, Tim. Genesis 18, we'll get there in just a moment, but we want to continue our thoughts concerning the omnipotence of God and the greatness of our omnipotent God. Let's see here. Yeah, it's gonna work. This tonight is going to be somewhat of a summary as we close up this portion of studying the attributes of God, or as we close up this particular attribute, His omnipotence. And we have seen that God's omnipotence is great in its scope, because as with His other characteristics, He is infinite in His ability, and where He is also great in its impact on us. What a blessing that is. I thought of the fellow that Dave mentioned that does not know if we can, or doesn't believe that we can know if there is a God. How sad that is. We come together tonight, we pray to our Father, who we realize is omnipotent. He is all-powerful, and we've seen the definition of that as God having the ability to do anything and everything He wills to do. So we want to just quickly review that His titles declare that He is omnipotent. His works display that He is omnipotent. We saw last time I spoke on a Wednesday night that His servants depose or testify that He is omnipotent. And tonight we want to kind of wrap this up with the thought that His statements demand that He is omnipotent. And I want to kind of just break this up into a couple of areas that really tie into our definition and somewhat summarize the things that we've been thinking about as we think about God being able to do anything and everything that He wills to do. First of all, His statements in demanding that He is omnipotent by the things that God Himself says about Himself, His statements demand that He does everything He wills to do. Here in Genesis chapter 18, we have God Himself and the angels coming to speak with Abraham concerning the fact that his wife is going to have a child. And you know the story. You know that she is past childbearing age, humanly speaking. And in verse 13 of chapter 18, the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?'" And here we have his statement, which I understand grammatically is a question. But as we continue on in what he said, we realize that it is a statement, both in insinuation and in what he continues to say. God says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." We see that God is speaking here to Abraham, and in asking that question, it's obviously a rhetorical question that needs no answer, because it's obvious in the asking that the answer is no. There is nothing too hard for God. Why? Because God is stating Himself about Himself that He is omnipotent, that He does everything that He wills to do. He does that. He does what man cannot achieve. Understandably, Sarah had a concern about the fact that she was told she would have a baby, because she knew that according to the human female body, it was impossible for her to bear a child, to conceive a child. It could not be done. Humanly speaking, this could not be achieved. But yet, our God is able to do what man cannot achieve. Nothing is too hard for Him. You know, as I think of us gathered here in this room tonight, you know, I wonder if any of us, or some of us, or most of us, or even all of us, At times, sell God short of doing something amazing in and through our lives just because we think it's impossible. Humanly speaking, it can't be achieved. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too weak. I'm too me. You ever feel like that? My biggest problem is that I'm too me. That's the biggest problem I have. And sometimes we look and we say, well, God, He would never do this through me because of me. Well, you see, there are those things about us that we can get in the way of God's working. But if we're willing to yield, it took Sarah a little bit here to do it, but she was willing finally to yield. God can do amazing things. Don't sell Him short. Don't sell Him short. He can do what man cannot achieve. Look with me at the book of Isaiah as we move from the historical books of the Pentateuch on to the prophetic books into Isaiah. And we go to the 46th chapter here, and we again hear the words of Jehovah Himself speaking. And here He speaks to the house of Jacob and all the remnant of the house of Israel, according to verse 3. And if we go down to verse 10, we will hear what the Lord said specifically concerning this. In fact, look at verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none other. No other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Here we have God speaking to the nation of Israel through His prophet, His mouthpiece, Isaiah. And He is speaking here about deliverance from the powerful Babylonian Empire. And to the Jewish mind, that was impossible. It was the Babylonians who had taken them into captivity, and they could not understand how it would ever be possible for anyone to overthrow the mighty Babylonian Empire. But we see here in verse 11 that God said He was going to call a bird of prey from the east. He was going to call Cyrus the Persian. And He was going to call Cyrus to be His servant to come and to conquer Babylon. And Cyrus would prove to be a ruler who was kind to the Jewish people, and who even later would commission the Jewish people to go back to their homeland to begin to rebuild. You see, God does what He chooses to do, and He does not only what man cannot achieve, but He does what man cannot believe. What man cannot believe can be done. Can I encourage you tonight that our God is omnipotent. Our God is able to do everything that He wills to do. Can I encourage you tonight not to doubt God's ability to deliver you from whatever powerful slave master you may feel that has gotten control of a little portion of your life. And you know what that is, and maybe nobody else knows what that is, or only a few people know what that is. And maybe you have almost come to the point where you've given up thinking you ever could have true freedom. God is able. There's nothing too hard for Him. And He desires to give you that freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ won on your behalf at the cross, the power over sin. And yes, even that sin that seems to beset you. God does everything He wills to do, even what man cannot achieve and what man cannot believe. His statements demand that He is omnipotent. Well, let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and we're going to see another aspect of God's omnipotence being declared by himself. And here from the lips of the Lord Jesus. And here we're going to find that his statements demand, listen to this now, his statements of omnipotence demand that he does not do everything he could do. You see, remember our definition, God is able to do everything that he wills to do. He wills, he chooses things that are in accordance with his character and his perfect plan. Luke 18, the Lord Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. And we see in verse 27 a response that he has. Well, let's go ahead and read for the context here. In verse 24, after the rich young ruler walked away sorrowful, and when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" The Old Testament showed those who were faithful to God as being blessed materially, greatly. And so to the Jewish mind, if a rich person, blessed by God in a material sense, if that person couldn't be saved, if it was harder for that person to be saved than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, then who could be saved? Who could be saved? The Lord Jesus responds in verse 27, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. In other words, God is able to save anyone, but he does not save everyone. You see, no one is beyond his reach. No one is too rich or too poor or too middle class to need to be saved or to be saved. No one is too good or too bad or too in between to not need to be saved or to not be able to be reached by the right arm of God, his strong arm. But God has willed to give each individual his or her own choice by his or her own will. And so we come together tonight and we pray for those who don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior. And God doesn't want us to doubt his ability to save our loved ones, unsaved loved ones. He does not want us to doubt his ability to save an agnostic. He does not want us to doubt his ability to save a Mormon. He does not want us to doubt his ability to save someone who confesses being an unbeliever and seems to just go on in that life. He wants us to know that he can. And he is able to do that. But he's not going to force them to. And we can pray that he will pursue them, that he will bring them under conviction, that he will soften their hearts, that he will continue to strive with them. But God in his character is not going to force anyone to be saved. But he's going to make it possible even for a rich person. Because God, you see, God could make a camel small enough to go through the eye of a needle, couldn't he? He could shrink a camel, no problem, even a two-hump camel. He could bring it down and let it go through the eye of a sewing needle. God can do that. You see, it's impossible with man, but it's possible with God. Next, Mark 14, as we close. Mark 14 and verse 36. And here we hear the Lord Jesus, God, the Son, in his statement to his Father, declaring the omnipotence of God. Mark 14, and here he is in the garden. We know it well. And there in verse 36, we listen to the Lord Jesus there in the garden, troubled and deeply distressed. Look down at verse 36. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me, Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. You see, God, in His omnipotence, was able to take that cup away from His Son. He had the ability to do that. He had the ability and the right to not have His Son go to the cross and not have His Son bear the sins of the world upon Himself. He could have done that. The Lord Jesus said, "All things are possible with you. You can stop this cup from coming on me." And yes, He could. Yes, He could. But God's statements demand that He does not do everything He could do. You see, because in accordance with His character and His plan, was only possible through the death of the one who prayed that prayer, that we could be saved, that a rich person could be saved, a poor person, a Nigerian, a South American, that anybody could be saved, was only through the death of His Son. So He did not save His Son. He saved Him out of death, but He did not save Him from death. He allowed Him to go into that. And we know that as we pray to God, we must accept that He may not always deliver us from suffering. He may have a purpose in it continuing. We still pray. We pray as the Lord Jesus did. It's possible. You can take me out of this. You can take this away from me, but not as I will, but as You will. God does not do everything He could do, including saving everyone, because He gives us the opportunity to respond in faith to His call and to His offer of salvation. He didn't save His own Son from death because He wanted us to have that opportunity. God's omnipotence. His titles declare that He's omnipotent. His works display it. His servants depose it. They testify, as we saw and heard from the lips of Job and Jeremiah and Gabriel. And His own statements demand it. And God's omnipotence should result in our confidence in life, because we know that He can do anything and everything that He chooses and wills and pleases to do. It should inspire courage in us to go forward in our lives, knowing that He is able. It should encourage hope, should be spurred on in us. Comfort, the comfort of hope, because we know He is able. And what a blessing to know God, whom to know is life eternal. What a blessing to know His character and to meditate on His attributes. The blessing of knowing that He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. May we appreciate that. May we be comforted. May we be confident. May we be encouraged to be courageous. May we be hopeful because of who He is. Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks tonight. It's a blessing to come together with these saints to sing, to share, to pray, to meditate on Your Word. Father, we just praise You for challenging us, for commanding us to come together with Your people to pray. And we thank You that we've been able to be obedient tonight, and it's been our joy to do that. Father, thank You for hearing our prayers. Answer them according to Your will. We submit to You. We lay them all out before You. And Father, ask You to do what is best according to Your perfect plan, according to Your perfect character. We love You and thank You. In the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord encourage you.